Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Miraj Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. And those are the times that we have every day, 7 days a week. Nevertheless, this is conference call. In conference call, we don't do Block Talk Radio. We use the time that we decide to take out on Friday, and we put in a conference call where you can call in, and whatever's on your mind, you can ask a question, and I will try my best to the utmost, if Allah pleases, to answer your question. I understand my assistant Eli Obey is on the phone. Are you able to get Samad on the phone?
No, I'm not able to get him on the phone, but I'm having him call me again now to see if I can get him on.
Would you be so kind to do so?
All right.
The conference calls are just for those who take time out of their everyday life to be able to ask questions. And if you're able to ask questions, then we have the ability to answer those questions. We try at our utmost to be able to do the things that is needed to be done. And because we are able to do that, then it becomes very interesting to the point that in Islam is opening our hearts to those out there that calls in on a conference call to ask questions that normally you do not ask. We don't mind questions being given to us. Why? Because this is a way of communication. And for some strange reason, we have lost, literally have lost, the way of communication. Communication is not a luxury, it's a necessity. It's a necessity for many reasons. And those reasons is to learn.
Right, he's there, and I'm unable to hook Samad in whatever reason.
These things happen. I am going to hold on, and Eli will just say a few words. I'm going to see if I can get him. Just hold on, and let's see if I can reach him myself.
Okay.
And this way, if you do that, then it will pass the time that we are paying for. So I'm trying now. So you just keep on and just say, I will return.
Okay. For those people that's on the line, Murad is coming back on shortly. Just be patient. We'll be right back.
I have one of my guests on, Samad. Samad, you there?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I wanted to continue, and I always like to start off to say to the listening audience that conference call is important. If you put your phone on mute, I will not hear anything in the background. You push *6, you're on mute. Or if you got mute on your own phone, you just push the button. And I will call your name when it's time for you to speak. This is an open mic, and because it's open, you can move or you can think you're quiet, but you will not be quiet if you don't put it on mute. That's the only floor that's in call. You can go up to 1,000 people. Can you imagine trying to govern 1,000 people? That's very difficult to do. And some of us, as I was trying to say, we don't care about communication. We just like to turn on our TV or radio. We like to go out and have fun. We like to say hello to certain people, give the greetings, assalamu alaikum to some people, but we don't have communications, brothers and sisters. And they know that. And the reason we don't have communication is that they decide to go quietly and buy everybody that can this the things that should not be told to us and interrupt them and shut them down, or have the vehicle to stamp approval what's good and reject what is wrong. They didn't want us to have that pull, that understanding and that power to be able to flip that understanding on others. So what they do, they went around buying all our records. And now they control the radio show. How they control it? If you say the wrong thing, they will cut you off. Literally cut you off. Why? They control it, and they own it, so they can control it. And then you wonder why you're not coming across. The reason you're not coming across, I'll tell you why. You are not coming across because they don't want you to know. So the President of the United States, and you will be the President of the United States until the end of January, but in essence, he lost. But meanwhile, still the President. And the President has been calling most of these fake news, and that's what they are, fake news. And because you're fake news, for whatever reason, he is saying, don't listen to him. And a lot of people are listening to the president because he's the president of the United States of America. And he has a habit of saying, don't listen to that. Well, there's no one really out there today that's trying to give us good news. So most of all the news is fake, fabrication. And today, just look where we at with all this technology. We've used a phrase called COVID-19, and it has stopped us tremendously. I mean tremendously. But if you really look at it, you'll find out that someone is being paid big dollars for this here, because if you do no more than look at the idea that you got to walk around with a mask, not just in America, all over the world. Now, it's 8 billion. 8 billion. So you do the math. The average mask costs you $3. $3. So if everybody's paying $3 for 8 billion times 3, $24 billion. But it's not like you can use that mask for 4 or 5 months unless you got a real 100% cloth. And you can wash it. However, so you got half the people may wash it, and you got the other half throws it away and go buy them a new one. So this has been going on for 6 months or more. Multiply that. They are in the trillions off the mask. But that is not counting the hospitals. The hospitals was broke. The hospital was going out of business until COVID-19. When COVID-19 came, oh, my God, they had all these sick people, but they didn't know they were going to die on them. So the hospitals weren't ready. So you got all these bodies locked up because why? They didn't know these people was going to die like they're dying. So they went over and took over the nursery homes. The nursery homes is just a small place, might have 100 people or less. And you think that's something? They got them so packed with sick people that are dying, they can't help them, can't feed them, can't do nothing, so they have to make decisions. Kill this one. Why? He or she is obesity anyway. They're going to die anyway. Just kill it. Save this one. This one gone. And then they got some where they say, and they got caught. They said, but he's 33 years old. I lived enough. Pull a plug. This is happening in America. Now they just went and got all of the inmates. They gave them $2. Death price. We ain't moving. We don't get $20. We ain't moving. And they would have got $20. But they went for it. Took $2. They moving all these dead bodies. Where they putting them? They put them in a hole. Where they gonna mark them? Joe Blow. You don't even know where your parents is. You don't even know where your children are. You don't even know where your husband, your wife is. And then they got a new law. You can't take this body out unless it's in this bag because you might destroy the earth. Oh, my God. We might destroy the earth. Here they got toxins that they spray to kill the bugs so their vegetables can grow, and the toxins is not only killing us, it's killing the earth. You're eating those toxins. So one company, because of all that crazy spray, that lost billions. It don't mean nothing to them. I don't mean anything. They making trillions of our stupidity. So this is what's going on. But the reason why you don't know, because most of us are stuck in our homes. All we do is turn on the TV. We don't read nothing. We don't read anything. We don't try to catch up on anything. We just do what they tell us to do. Yes, sir, master. I will dance when you say dance, master. I don't know why I can't go see my children, master. But you say I can't go and see my children. You can go anywhere you want. Oh, you got to be close. You got to be tied up in the
Henrietta Bonner.
You are. You got to be tied up. You shouldn't be tied up, brothers and sisters. But the problem is fear is everything. If you put fear in a human being, he or she is not going to move. Why? Fear. Now, we followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he said, if you knew how they conduct their life, you would run them from amongst you. Their social life. And we do understand that. Then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and I quote him, why do we love the devil? Because he gives us nothing. So the devil, mind, not the physical, he's a Muslim in his nature, but he can turn diabolical overnight. Overnight. If me and my brother and my twins and we having fun, we go to the temple, we open that door, we got to check each other. You say, why? Why are you checking each other? You've been with each other all day. Now, Allah Muhammad said, what? You can turn the devil overnight. So we was always checking each other, make sure everybody didn't turn. Today, we don't check white folks. Yes, sir, boss. We don't find out why he said what he said. Yes, sir, boss. We put on that mask because why? The boss said we're going to catch so-and-so. And the guy, that little short guy, a diabolical mind. All his life, he's been kicked out of so many, and he's not even a scientist. That's the guy that's on the networks and say, oh, I think you should wear your mask and such, but he's been corrupted. If you find me a minority that got a felon, he can't open his mouth. He's a felon. And tell him to shut up, you're a felon. Here's a man got caught in forgery and pushing things that didn't even exist. But they went and got him and made him larger. And everybody, because he got a platform. And his platform is telling you, like Reverend Ike used to say. Reverend Ike said, don't wait for the pie in the sky. Get it now. He had about 24 automobiles. You're going to pay him. You're going to give what's in him. And then he would teach it. But never ask him. You got reverends right now saying to his flock that my plane is not big enough. It only holds 700 people. I need 1,000. So you're going to have to give me this money because this plane is going to cost you big time. I need $100 million. Then he got caught. He stopped saying it on the air. But I heard he still cuts those ties to buy that plane. Can you go for it? You got emails. You have emails that take your money, you wimp, you spineless individual. And you sit up under them like, oh, the boss, we did it for the boss, so we're going to do it for the emails. And you don't even know what the hell they doing. You don't even know what the hell they saying. You don't have no clue where your money at. So you get angry. What do? You leave. Why? Why aren't you trying to find out? You don't want to find out. Too much time. Too much talking. Things are happening all around us. And we don't understand what is going on all around us. Now, I can't wake you all up. I can plant the seed, but that's what I do. Now, Allah will cultivate the seed, but it's so difficult. My God, is it difficult to try to tell you the truth. You know why? Because you don't want to stop doing what you're doing. And do what? To your diet. Now you're rushing around trying, oh, I want to save this, I want to save that, I want to save this. Meanwhile, you're dying. And I'm like, Muhammad came back and said, I told you he was a devil. And you thought that devil meant the guy in the ground with tail, red hair, red, look like he's red with pitchfork, with fire. That's your imagination. Just like you, brother. You point up to the sky. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Why are you pointing up? When Allah is close to your jugular vein, you look like a damn fool pointing your neck. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But that's the way it's at. It's close to your jugular vein. But you point up. Allah is not up there. Where you get that from? Because they came from paganism. Everything is physical with them. You think they got out of it? No, they didn't. But you love them because they speak the language very well. So that's a major problem. We have a major problem. We have a sickness and don't even know we have a sickness. So our children are suffering because you can't go nowhere. Afraid to go somewhere. Oh, I forgot my mask. I better run back upstairs and get my mask. Well, where are you going? To the market? Because you can't get in the supermarket unless you have it on. I can understand that. That's the law. So they bring that law down. We have to accept it. But to wear it in your automobile, to wear it in your house, I'm not going out without it. That's fear. And that's what they have done to us. They put fear in us. But we already were separated. We don't like this one don't like that one, this one don't like this one, that one. We don't like nobody but ourselves. And then you women are running your men away. And the men are so stuck on stupid, they don't go get another one. Oh, men, the women outnumber. It's nothing so you can't find one. Now, you may not can find that one you used to. Oh, she got to be gifted. She got to be successful. She got to be covered in all this gold and diamonds so you don't spend no money. She got to be built. Yeah, when you're 20, about 30, 40. But when you get 50 years old, buddy, you're on your own. And you better survive because it's a tough world out here to be home by yourself. I'm glad I don't know how to cook because I'm not going to cook me anything. Not that I don't want to eat. I'm going to find me a wife that's going to cook for me. At least I'll find out. I'm going to give her the world because I don't cook. I'm going to give her the world because why? I need good food. I need the right foods in me. She may not have no other skills, but that's enough to keep me alive, to keep me moving and grooving. And sometimes you'll cheat a little bit. You'll go get something you ain't supposed to have. But consistently, you can't eat that. It won't sound like your mother. You can't do that. It won't sound like your mother. It is your mother. It sounds like your older sister. It is your older sister. It sounds your own daughter. Yes, she is your daughter. Yes, she's your wife. She's everything. So we don't understand that. So, of course, we don't understand that. We don't go and get one. Then you want to know what's here. There's women that's in wheelchairs. will make a man feel like he's in heaven. Your problem is he can't walk. Oh, really? So you go out and get one that can walk, can talk, do all the things you want to do, but she stabs you in your back. She gets you when you never thought she was going to get you. Why? Because we're looking for the physical. We're not looking for anyone that can help us get to gender. Because all it's difficult to get to gender by yourself. Then you wonder why Allah said 2, 3, or 4. Because in this world, if you ain't got one that can do it, get another one. You don't get rid of the first one. And if that two can't do it, you get you a third one. You don't get rid of the first two. And if you get a fourth one, well, if all of them no good, something wrong with you. I should tell you, because you can't go on over four. So there's no way any man should be alone. Not a man that's reading this Quran. Now, if you're not reading the Quran, now I'll give you a pass. But they read it in Arabic. It's the language. Arabic is the real language of the language of Allah. But I don't see no progress. So that makes you worse than the one that never read it. And most of them are doing things that progress. But the one that's reading got a burden on them. It's like Asa. Asa is what? Pressure. Why? Who got to keep the revelation lit? The ulama. The ulama got to keep it alive. Because it's pressure. We're going down in the darkness. Well, if you understand that, that's Asa, because we're going into darkness. What about you, brother, that's reading? What are you doing? Who are you helping? You have a problem. And the sad thing is when this is the day of judgment. You better help. You better hurry up and do the right thing, because when you die, this physical specimen of a body dies, not just spirit, never dies. He evolves. And that's when you will be charged. Allah will charge you for everything you didn't clean up before you left this world. Now I heard my beautiful sister, Andrietta, come on the phone. And I made an oath to her. I said, you've been with me over 7 years. And she would write me, she would text me, she would leave a message. Brother Murad, you was off the hook. You was great. See how women is, they motivate you. I can't tell you what she looked like. I don't know how tall, how short, I don't know anything. But I know that she motivates me by way of communication. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Say what you have to say. You remind me of when I was following the Amalai Muhammad. You remind me of following the Imam Wadruddin Muhammad. You keep them alive. And I love you for that. You see, women is like the gasoline that makes that beautiful automobile to move. You got to have the gasoline. Women is that specimen of a human being when you go out there and you're swimming with the fishes and the sharks. You got to come back to shore because we are not a fish. The shore is the female. She balances you. Ah, she's a great gift. But we deny her. We don't accept her. And so I want to just say this before I open it up. Jesus was a sign. Everybody knows that. He was a sign. But we didn't understand the sign. But he was a sign for all of us. He was a sign. And his sign was to be able to greet and meet the abuser. Yes, he was sent there. He was sent there to cut the fig tree down. That's another story. He was the temple. And he realized he came to understand that he himself is doing the work of God. He said it. He explained it. Down here, as the writers wrote, I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm going to do my Father's work. So Jesus came to show compassion. On who? On the poor. To free them from being what? Poor. Isn't that amazing? He came to free the poor, brothers and sisters, and he told his disciples to feed my sheep. Now, the sheep is the one that they say that you lead to the slaughter, because the sheep will follow you. They humble. They don't attack nobody. So the sheep is to represent that to his disciples, you got to feed my sheep. He gave them a command. He commanded them to free the oppressed, the abuse. Yes. Is that not us? Yes, we are. We've been abused. We've been oppressed. We've been downtrodden. Yes, we're deaf, dumb, and blind. That's what I'm like, mom, called deaf, dumb, and blind. So he came for the purpose to feed his people, his people. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, said, my community started, his community started with the poor. Oh, here it comes, right behind Jesus. Right behind Jesus, brothers and sisters, he's saying that he started with the poor. And my God, they was poor. They was unintelligent. They was burying beautiful children, little girls, because they said it was a sin, but they was poor. But God said, it shall return. With the support of the poor, meaning the poor is going to help bring them back. So the support came from the poor. It went down with the poor, and the poor will bring it back up. And we was the poor. Faith was going down, but we brought it back up. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. 400 years of slavery. Look at us now. The poor brings it back up. With what? The faithful ones that believe. Only the faithful ones, it says, that believe. So Jesus understood himself. And as he knew himself, he said to the disciples, give them bread, water, fish. Yes. But he said, not any kind of water. He called the water still water. It's purified. There's no germs in it. They said, don't give them any water. You today drink any kind of water. That's not what Jesus is saying. He said, give them purified water. And the Christians say it all the time, but they don't understand it. God gave Jesus a miracle. He turned water into wine. Now, why would God turn man's wine? You know, man's wine gets you drunk. Man's wine makes you do things you always wanted to do, but you was of your mind to be sober, so you was not drunk. But it used the word that God gave Jesus, a miracle. He turned water into wine. The Quran says it's a little different. Yes. So the question is, what is wine? In religion, in revelation. What is wine, brothers and sisters? So if you try to understand what wine is, then maybe you will get it. But those who were wild, those who were drunk, said, Jesus said, I can drink. I heard a guy on TV used to say, no wine before it's time. So wine is a stimulator. Wine is a sensitivity. If I'm stimulating you right now and took you to another level of stimulation, aren't you, in the word of the English language, you're drunk. But you're not that drunk off of man's wine. You're drunk off the spirit. So it allows you to recognize your spirit when you become intoxicated with the understanding of revelation. Your spirit is allowed to be in the creation of the mind, in the resurrection of your soul. You're realizing now you got a soul. Oh, you stimulate. You know you got a soul. And you come to the conclusion that your social life behavior is the behavior of what God created you to be. That's the meaning of wine in Revelation. That's the meaning of religion, is to come into, to establish your culture, to establish your behavior, to establish who you are as the Khalifa, not the ruler. We are the caretakers of paradise. We are over the earth. We protect the earth. We guard the earth. But we are the last to come. So we're not over top of them. We don't dictate to them. We don't rule them, brother imams, brother ministers, and all of you that say you're the men of the cloth. And it's not the meaning that God is talking about. So what it means of wine and religion and revelation, the Quran says, give them wine. Whoa! Give them wine, but not hangover wine. Oh, you know when you get drunk and the next day you got a hangover. You messed up. Your stomach messed up. Your soul messed up. Your spirit messed up. And you say, I sure got drunk last night. So God can't be talking about that wine. It wouldn't be in the Quran. It's written in the Quran. But it also says, not hangover wine. When you are in darkness with a man that understands wine and the meaning of wine, the next day, your hangover allows you to try to get rid of man's wine. But Allah's wine, man, you fired up. You wake up praising God because you came into a new knowledge of understanding. And when you listen to revelation and you repeat it, it becomes like continuity. But if it's rhetoric, it would disturb your sensitivity. Anything rhetoric disturbs your sensitivity. It's like drinking tap water and man's wine. See, tap water can't do nothing for you. It's dirty, it's filthy. You didn't filter it. So you're not drinking God's water. It can't help you. So water in Revelation is knowledge. It's knowledge, brothers and sisters. When you hear water in Revelation, it's knowledge. Why is it knowledge? It flows. It's consistent. It's like a river. It just keeps moving. It keeps moving what? Forward. Doesn't back up. Doesn't hesitate. So Imam Wadisi Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wadisi Muhammad. Allow me to sit and explain Why are you defying what you read? I'm bringing you clear water with the purity, the proteins that's in it, the vitamin C, the vitamin B, 2, 3, 4, the vitamin 12. This is what you get when you're being fed. This is not tap water or man's wine. What time is it by man's clock? Or are you going by God's clock? And so I believe that I will stop there in my defining things that we are reading, but we cannot put it in proper perspective. Get back into your spirit. Get back into your soul. Get back into the nature that was created and trust in God, and you wouldn't have these fears. You don't need man to tell you how to take care of yourself. Eat right. All that garbage that you put in your system out there. And you think, man, they call it lemonade, Kool-Aid, whatever they, you just drink it. You just drink it. It's okay. Don't have too much sugar in it, so I'm going to drink this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased, once said, they give you a lie and sugarcoat it with the truth. They give you drinks and bottles that's tearing your system up and sugarcoat it with sugar. Don't start me. We say, bitchin' aloud, Allah Almighty Rahim, of God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is not Juma. When it's construed, Juma is from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So this cannot be Juma. There's only one Juma. There's no 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Juma. There's one Juma. Now you have men that have such a small building and a lot of people can't get in, but that brother got Lee who gave Juma. And then the next one come in and that's the first Juma for you. So that happens. This is modern day technology. But you can't wait until Asr come. Because you just did Zuhr. We call it Juma, but it's Zuhr. Don't go nowhere. Time don't go nowhere. And that's another story. But it's time for Maghrib. So it can't be. No way. The sun, the moon, the stars tell you this ain't Juma. But it is knowledge. It's to wake you up to understand what's going on today. And it's all in the Quran. Now you say, but Jesus is a Muslim. Jesus did not create Christianity. Jesus came to do what? Do the work of Allah, the work of his Lord. And he did his job. And he says, one will come after me. And he's talking about the seal of the Prophet Muhammad in the Nebula. He knew that. He knew that. And so therefore, we have a beautiful sister, a great specimen of a human being, has been following me for 7 years now. She have a right to accept or reject, but I will ask her. I will ask her from Arkansas. I heard your voice. If you would like to speak, do so, my beautiful sister. I give you 3 seconds to say something.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam.
I got you to talk.
You motivate me so much. But a question did come up when we was promising. Anyway, one night this past week, and I was listening to you, and you said, don't try to convert, you know, like people, Christianity, other. Don't try to convert them to Islam. Glad you brought that up. It's because, out of 8 siblings, I'm the oldest one still. Oldest one and the family still living. However, I have two younger ones. And when they start with this Black Friday Christmas stuff, it gets on my nerves. So I asked them, it's in the gospel. It's a 10th chapter in the gospel that it says, go out and get a tree from the woods and nail it down to your floor and ornament it with gold and silver. It won't do you any harm, but it won't do you any good either. And I asked them, I said, and did Jesus give, but why y'all picked the 25th of December? I never read anything where he said, celebrate my birthday. Then they look at me like, you know, oh, Lord, here she come again, you know. But when I heard you the other night, I says, I'm going to stop doing that. Because at the end you said you'll take away their happiness. Do you remember that?
Very distinctly I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that.
Okay.
And if you would like me to reiterate, I will be happy to do so. One thing I have to thank Allah for, as soon as you said that, my hard drive went and pulled it up, brought it into my conscious. No one knows how the self-conscious is everything, so I give it to you all in this aspect. When Muhammad Ali was a fighter, he said, you know, when you hurt that man, you ain't got 3 seconds. Because you hurt his conscious, but you did not hurt his subconscious. And his subconscious say, you're not hurt, you're not hurt, fight back. And now you got a real fight on you. He says, so when you hit him, his conscious is pretty much sleep. But his subconscious is not sleep. So you got to hit him again, another one too. And when you hurt both of them, he's out. There's nothing there can hold him up. It's like reading. I use something physical to give you understanding. When you read something and you take it to your heart, all computers are created by man's mind. You see how man is? He can duplicate God, but he's not perfect. So man's computer, if you pour water on it, it defuncts. It can't work. Just water. Mm-hmm. And that's God's water because he gave it to us. But man used that water. So if you pour man's water on the computer because it's a machinery created by man, it defuncts. But the water you pour on your intellectual mind that God created, it makes it better. Because water is knowledge. So, yes, when we go and disturb one's peace, that they believe in their religion, and they may call it Jehovah, they may call it Jesus, they call it any name they want. But Allah doesn't judge that. He judges the heart. And I believe very, very strongly those stories that you wrote, that you read, what you said to them, you're trying to give babies steak. Now, it could be an 80-year-old. It could be a 16-year-old. They're not a baby. But in their mind, they're still in the crib. Allah says, you should study from the crib. Now, is Allah telling that little baby that came out you females' womb is highly intelligent. It's called classroom. He was taught in, see, was taught in that womb. They come out, God, just, they don't, you don't hear them praising your language. They don't know your language. They don't know your who you are. They come out of heaven.
Okay.
So they cry God's language. All the babies cry God's language. But they highly intelligent. Now you got to teach them this world of Satan. You got to teach them how to survive. So that's why they listen to you. So it's not their crib, because their crib was in your womb. That was their crib. So God couldn't have been talking about that. But what? How could you study from the crib? Because in your mind and everybody's mind is that physical crib. But God is saying, when you come into what you just talking about, you was in a crib back then. And now you're teaching, because you learn it, to a person that's in the crib. So you can't give a baby steak. They have no teeth. They can't chew that steak. What you have to give that child is baby food. So you back up off of them. Let them be who they are. Let them grow into knowledge. So you only try to, like the Quran says, teach them out of their book, because they don't know the Quran. So teach them what they believe. And don't knock them, because El Islam don't need no one and don't beg nobody to come to El Islam. You cheating El Islam, do that. So, yes, you love your uncles, your other. I'm going to go so far as to say, when my mother, and she came when she was 85, but she wasn't no 85. She was 28, 30, 35. But you come in the house, and she did all this cooking. And back then, she had macaroni and cheese, so we ate it. She had gravy and olive vegetables, so we ate it. But she had pork on the plate. You eat all around that pork. And Mama said, "You ain't eat the meat, son." And Mama, "I don't feel good." And so I stopped eating meat for a while. "Oh, you should have told me. You don't hurt her feelings. I don't eat pork. Why you put that pork?" See, that's not El Islam. You have to find a humble way of the good that she did. She stayed up day and night cooking that meal for you. So our mothers brought us here. We come into knowledge and we call them coppers. We come into knowledge and we scream and holler and tell them they're going to hell. Hell, man, you going to hell. Because Allah says in the Quran, "Oh, you Jews and Christians and saviors, if you would believe in one God," and they do, "and the hereafter would be no burden, so why do we give them burden?" So you did the right thing. My sister, those are your family members. You should love them. Was who to say my mama, I remember when I come to Islam at 13 years old, I'm a non-blessed Muhammad. And after all, white folks, devil and everybody else was deaf, dumb, and blind, we were so intelligent. I never forced Islam on my mama. And one day, she said, "I'm ready, son." And I said, "Mama, we can't go nowhere. I'm telling you right now, all these people came to see me. It was a convention." She said, "No, fool, I'm ready to take Shahab." I said, "Oh, what?" By 83 years old, my mama embraced El Islam. And I jumped up and down because she lived with my Islamic sister. And I thanked her for my sister. She said, "Oh, no." I said, "Mama, you live with her." "No, no, no." I said, "Why did you come to El Islam?" She said, "If religion can do that for you, I want to be a part of that religion." I said, "Allahu Akbar." And I never taught her. I never changed anything about her. All I did is accept that what was good, and that which I couldn't have, I wouldn't touch it. But I would never, ever, ever insult my mother. And that's the way we're supposed to treat our mothers. And who says before they pass, they would not ask God for forgiveness? That's my humble opinion. I thank you for that question.
Thank you. I'll lighten up off of that.
Samad, you there?
I'm here, man. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Assalam. How are you?
I'm fine. I got three questions, if you don't mind. The first question is, Biden looks like he won, and the president won't submit. But what happens if Biden is not too far away from Trump? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I got it. If Biden was sitting at my table, the thing I would say to him, no, he doesn't have a clean record. Yes, he did some things that was despicable. Yes, the men with the money has given him money. However, this is a new day. And he can do the right things, not waiting on the Senate. Donald Trump had that. He had the Senate and he had the power to do things before going to the Senate. That's how all these judges got in. So he can do that right now to prove that he did a 360. Because today, Black Lives Matter. And today, they are proving to the entire world that we, the community, rules. The government does not rule over the citizens of the United States or any government. Now, let's go way back. Everybody talks about Pharaoh. Pharaoh ruled Egypt. Egypt was so intelligent, they give a riddle out. Tell me who walks on twos, who walks on threes, who walks on fours. If you can't answer that, you are unintelligent. But if you can answer that, you can come into Egypt as a god. If you can answer that question. This is great big Egypt with all of tall stature. Everything is big and large. But Pharaoh don't have boxers. He have gladiators. And them gladiators got to fight. And when that one gladiator got one to submit, he have to turn to Pharaoh. Should he live or should he die? Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh, the god of Egypt, turns to his community and says, live or die. And if the community say die, Pharaoh will turn and say kill. If the community says live, Pharaoh will turn and say live. To show that the community is the ruler, not no one individual. Okay. If you can grasp that understanding, the only way he's going to make it in America is to give the power back to the people. And his job, God willing, is that he's going to do that because there's too many military men that's homeless. There's too many military men that lost a limb. There's too many military men is messed up on drugs because what they had to go through in killing men, women, and children and watch them die. That's enough to mess up any human being. You got seniors eating dog food and waiting for their Social Security check to come in next month. You got 40 million people out of work. You got men losing their house. Black man never really owned his house. But some of them are losing it. But you got a lot of these Caucasians losing their home. Never saw this before. You got war all over. We're talking about now he might, before he leave office, create war in Iraq. No, brother. If you don't bring this world back together in unity, we'll never win. So this is the will of God. I believe he ain't stupid because these new people is not playing. They are coming against everything. You got women, they taking their vital organs out of them just for money. You got women shipped back over because they can tell who took their vital organs. You have little kids locked up in cages, being molested, sent different where as being prostitutes. And it's so crazy what's going on. Now, he says that he's going to help. I'm telling you, he can't hide. He cannot hide. And they are on top of it to see if he don't straighten this stuff out in Israel, straighten this stuff out in Venezuela, straighten this stuff out in Iraq, in Iran, all over the world. They got to see the lights on now. There's no more shame. Lights are on. So if in fact there was someone like Colin Powell running for office, he wouldn't have won. They would have voted for the Republican. He ain't qualified. But it was no choice. Either the president or him. They picked him. Everybody picked him. So he has it worse than Obama. He got it worse than Clinton. He got it worse than Kennedy. He has got to now perform and put the community, the citizens of the United States, and listen to their cry. That's my humble opinion. Next question.
All right, my next question is, right, when you see Black Lives Matter, I see everybody. I see blacks, Caucasians, Latinos, but I don't see Muslims, Murad. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, Murad. Muslims did a good job in the community. But when I look at Black Lives Matter, I know what Muslims, I don't see them. What you got to say about that?
During the first experience, we call it, during Oliver Elijah Muhammad, we was the Black Lives Matter. Because a lot of people didn't care nothing about being black. You call them black, you had a problem. The reason they wouldn't fight us, because when you saw us, we was 10, 15 strong, just selling Muhammad Speaks. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to mess with us. But most of them didn't like us, but they had to respect us. And we was more than black lives. We was the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. That's how we saw it. And because we was in our own skin, and because we had unity, that all the temples around the country, when you heard the cry, attention, everybody around the country jumped to attention. That was power. If you know anything about sign that says, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was sign that says. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, stay away from them, meaning don't take on their holidays. There's no such thing as George Washington, Christopher Columbus. We didn't believe in any of that. We didn't believe in Easter. And we sure didn't believe in Thanksgiving. and we surely believe in the number one, Christmas. So for 1930 to 1975, we didn't participate in anything that they had, and we survived. You come in our neighborhood, we didn't know how to say New Africa, but they knew that was Muslim being. You come on Chancellor, you come on Springfield, you come on any part of Newark, you had people say, Assalamu alaikum. Everybody knew how to say Assalamu alaikum. And when people visit us, they would say, what is the whole city of Newark are Muslims? But they all say Assalamu alaikum. Why? Because we taught them. We knocked on their door. We walked with them. We brought them to the temple. We tried our best to relate to them and be a part of them. And you couldn't come and open up no bar. We don't know why that store blew up. We have no clue. We don't understand why it fired. You couldn't come in our neighborhood and police our neighborhood. We policed our own neighborhood. This is who we were. And we didn't see no black on black crime. We didn't just go around killing each other. We didn't do that. We might whoop your ass, Seth, but we did not kill you. And if we beat you up bad enough, we took you to the hospital and dropped you off at the emergency room, even though we left you outside. But we didn't play. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, even Stevens, and no one played with us. And when we drove those ministers through that, it was only 55 miles per hour, I remember. We were doing 70, and there'd be eight of us in a caravan, and you better not hit one. So they couldn't touch us because why? It's like a closed fist. I didn't hit you with my open hand, smack the hell out of you, but I get your attention, but when you can unite it to one unit, I can knock the hell out of stupidity, ignorance, and separation, and not loving self and kind. So James Brown started singing, I'm black and I'm proud. And he said, that comes from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we was the black people back then. And that's what we called ourselves, to bring us back to the light of understanding. To in 1975, you remember when Muhammad took over, black was consciousness. We was in darkness. He brought us to light. And our Elijah Muhammad was wudu. He cleaned us up. And remember what was Muhammad called us to prayer. We didn't know how to make Sajja until 2007. But we learned it. And now today, we mark our ancestors that came over here saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they prayed for us, and there was a compliment. They had a contract with Allah, and Allah fulfilled it. But today, we all got spaced out. We learned who the jinn is, but we were looking for him. We didn't know he was in us. He's in us. Now we got all this knowledge, we think we better than each other. And don't give a damn about anybody that do not come to Juma, do not make prayer, do not fast during the holy month of Ramadan. We have lost our five senses. We done took on somebody else's sense. Now we got a sixth sense. And all this sixth sense come from people that didn't like us from the beginning, don't like us now, but come over here to destroy what you've done. Is plotted to destroy us. And we are allowing people to come next to us and don't even check them. All they got to do is speak Arabic real well, and next you know it, someone don't look like is over top of us. Who's the imam? Brother from Saudi Arabia. Who's the imam? Brother from Turkey. Who's the imam? Brother from India. Who's the imam? How could that happen? When they all came over here to school and changed their name. When they all came over there, hided that they was Muslim. We went to jail saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was our messenger. We went to jail saying Allah is God. Oh, I know. Everybody said, no, it's Farad. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, put your hand out. Now we know today we was begging. We stood up in Kiama. We didn't know about it. But when you hold your hand out, Samad, you begging God. And we said, surely I turned myself to thee, O Allah. We didn't say for us, O Allah. who created the heavens and the earth, and we are not the Pontius. That prayer was so strong, it was Fatiha. We didn't know what it was. We was acting in our nature. And look how successful. Planes in the air, farmland, trucks on the road, bakeries, barbershops, schools. Sister Clara Muhammad, then we got sophisticated. We called it the University of Islam. And them children today, look at them. I got two right now. One is Salima Muhammad. You're on the radio show. The other one is Dr. Amir, Nadira. They grew up as Lord Junior. They was vanguards. They was NGTs. Knew how to sew, knew how to cook, knew how to take care of their husband. By the time they was 10, 11, 12, and they all successful today. What's happening now? But all this knowledge we say we have, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Under likes attract, and a like repel." We felt for another person that don't look like us, didn't grow up with us, don't know us, and didn't know we was Muslim. Even today, they say they ain't no Muslim. Isn't that something? They want to take that away from us. They want to take the finger I'm talking about away from us. That's Bilal. They want to give it to Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He don't need that. He don't need you to give him nothing. He's for all humanity. The Jews don't do it. The Christians don't do it. Well, you give it to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that slave did it, named Bilal. And we have no clue what that meant. Imam Razi Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Razi Muhammad, proud to say so, he said Bilal was sending a message that in this day, the 21st century, that we, the so-called American Negro, deaf, dumb, and blind, down in the mud of civilization, has raised up to call the entire world, Allahu Akbar, back to prayer. And we did it. Muhammad Ali started. They didn't even know we Muslim. Today, they tricking all of them. I sit there and watch these weak, spineless men. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. And I'm going to go to that school to start. Yeah, but you got to read it like this. You ain't telling me anything. Because if you were so good as the imams, then why are you not imams in your country? Because you're not qualified. But you came over here and find a spineless imam that wants to bow to you and learn your language and don't even know if it's the Quran or if it's his language. But see, Allah has raised up a whole lot of us. When I went to Washington, D.C., them brothers, it was Imam Razi Muhammad. And them brothers is over top of thousands of soldiers. Those brothers are interpreted for the government. And those brothers are stone outright Muslim in their hearts. They don't fear nobody. And they build it. And they ain't inferior to nobody. You got something to say, come say it to my people. Humble, too. We was talking to a Hafizah. And I remember the brother speaks just as well, but he's not a Hafiz. He's not a Hafiz. And Brother Blau said to him, you can read that Quran? He said, yes, I can read. He said, you can read it without looking at it? He said, yes. You know how Hafiz? He said, yes, when I was 14. This brother is about 65 years old. He said, you can do that right now? He said, let me hear you. And he was running. He was running. He was running. He said, oh. He said, you know the whole Quran? He said, no. He told the truth. He said, 20% I might not get. So I stopped him and said, Baccarat. He ran it. I said, hold it. Explain it to me in my language. He can't do it. So I started explaining. And that brother said to me in front of all of the people there, he said, you just taught me something. Don't tell me Allah didn't give us this. And we don't even have a clue what we have. So that's why we are separated. That's why we ain't out there, because we figure, oh, we soldiered in the 40 years ago. We soldiered in the 50s and the 60s. Oh, we don't have to soldier no more. No, we're supposed to be generals. This should be us. But I got something new. It's Allah will be able to do it. And that's my humble opinion. What's your next question? You're so good. I want to hear three.
This is my last question, Ron.
I'm gonna lie.
This is my last question. You always say, if we come together, we'll be powerful collectively, economically. You want to elaborate on that? How you always say, we come together, we'll be powerful collectively?
You know, I can imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and he is so humble and full trust in Allah, he would agree to know that he couldn't help his people in Mecca for 10 years. But he had 10 years to see a group of people that embraced him. And it was Christians, Salman. Today is the whole Islamic country, beautiful country. Because he raised them. And he was born in Mecca, but he made sure he went to Medina, and that's where he passed. What I'm saying to you, we're from Africa. But Africa didn't come get us. But I want to die in America. Because America is where I learned. America is where my ancestors went to hell to build this country. I was downtown, and I said to my wife, I'm going to give you a machine. You're going to count every black person you see is down here. I said, but I'll be punishing you. Count how many white folks is down here. You can't count it. So everything downtown is us. All those merchants we buy from them. I said, look at this disgrace. Can't you know if everybody stayed away from downtown for 1 month, you just shut downtown down.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sell that to nobody. No one comes in downtown. Only time they come in is for a sport. And all one way becomes two ways to get them the hell out of town when they come out of those arenas. This says something to us. I don't care if you're a black man. Everything downtown is owned by them. And they built those buildings and them stores for us, and we don't even know it. We can shut them down. So I said, just on the East Coast, send a message all over the country. On the East Coast, there's 10 million. Just on the East Coast, 10 million of us. If we came together with our nickels and dimes and said, okay, you want to not give our social securities to our seniors and their pension you all want to take from them, watch what we do. If each one of us saved $100, I give you 1 year and put it together with the other 10 million. Look at the kind of money we have just got. We now in the billion-dollar bracket, our money, to help build our homes, help raise our farmers, bring all them farmers that lost their position, come with us. We'll pay you for your skills. Raise our own cattle, our own lamb, our own turkeys, our chickens that eat every day. No. No, we're going to feed our children halal. But we're not just talking about us. You will come to us because we got the best of the best. We're not going to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. All those thick birds, why he can't call it chicken no more. It's got to be KAC. He can't even use the word chicken, and he's still eating it. Fries and all the stuff that's burning our kids out. But we can make it halal. Use the same name, but it's halal. Because why? We control around the whole country. We are powerful. But you wonder why them brothers from hip hop went with Donald Trump? Because he offered them $1 million. He laughing when they walk away because they could have got $5 million. He wants that vote. So he offered them $1 million. They all went for it, some of them, and some of them didn't. But why? For their self-gratification. Why all these people got all this money? Now they're thinking about coming together. Well, I'm getting ready to shock them all. Because I was told by my family, you are not going to help the so-called American Negroes that call themselves Muslims. They still are stuck on stupid. They still about themselves. They can't build nothing and won't get the hell out of the way unless someone build it. I said, you got me mistaken. I talk to them. I walk with them. But I'm Uswa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I go to humanity. So we getting ready to make an announcement. It's a big one. But I asked for $1 trillion from Allah because I made $1 billion. It didn't sit in my bank account, but I held it. I made $1 billion. They didn't loan me money. These 10 million to this fighter and 11 million to this fighter and 25 million to that fighter, then making 50 million and my co-promoter steals 40 million of the 117 million. I mean, this is, I've been through all of this. But they all didn't know. I asked Allah for $1 trillion. Not for me, Samad. Not for me. $1 trillion so I can help all of those who need help. And we can build our own skyscrapers. Well, I get a call. Everything I asked for dropped in my lap. And you want to know something? You want to know something? I said to them, I refuse to be over this company and y'all don't help those who can't help themselves. I refuse to take from the entertainers. And they worked hard and was raised to be able to sing and dance and make us feel happy. I refuse if that's what y'all are going to do. You know what they said? You're a godsend. This is what we want to do. We want to help all of those and show them how to franchise and show them how to own their own business, but give them the technology. See, this ain't just sports. This is technology. Well, wait a minute. You can't buy me. No, Marat. We ain't buying you. Well, what are you doing? Here, you're going to own a piece of the company. I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. Let me go get the flag man. Former FBI that took down all these major companies. Ah, he's so bad that the president of the United States, Clinton, awarded him. Brought him in. He came with me all 20 years. I'm sitting at the table. Stock, stock. You buy stock. They ain't sell me this. They want my name. They want my continuity. They want what I'm able to do. So I said, my God, your own community didn't ask you to do this. I said, hey, you know what Allah said to Noah? He said, Noah said, Lord, you said I was going to help my family. I see my family drowning. But it was more than one. They only talk about one. They didn't want you to know it was more than one. Only three came with him. He said, your family is on this ship. Meaning the community is your family. You think about one son, two sons, three sons, or four sons when there's one, there's billions of people, the whole Ummah is your family. So the family came and they said, here, this is yours. Sign it, Murad. He's the FBI. They clean. I check them out. This ain't no play here. Sign it. I push them again. I blah, blah, blah. Hold on. I stop talking. Sign it. I blah, 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 blah. Did you hear me? Here, sign it. Now, I had an idea. It was just a dream come true. I had an idea what it was. I signed it. Then he took a picture of it. Then he initialed it. Then he made them all initial it. Because why? He knows companies. He knows who's real, who isn't. And we walked into the car. He said, you're set for life. Now go do what you have to do. So they invited me. I'm going down. And they said, the flag man said, you don't go in no room. The man lived in presidential suites. But we got the biggest two-bedroom suite for you. Hey, man, I'm getting ready to stop this whole world because that's what I do. So I was down here. I walked with them. I ate with them. I did everything. I tried to tell them to do this, tell them to do that. Now, we got some that's with me, but they hesitated. They just didn't see it. They saw it because they know I'm impossible. I do the impossible. But they didn't work like the five companions. They never got off the post. That's okay. That's Satan. Satan does his job, but you're not going to stop me. Not me, Muhammad. I serve Allah. I'm like Job. I got patience, but I just took that vow off. I'm on the job for Allah. That's who I work for. So I'm saying, yes, Ammar, if they would listen to me, when they would listen to me, it's 1 billion of us. $1, that's all I need. I got a billion. $2, I got 2 billion. $10, I got 10 billion. And don't put up 100. You telling me we need a government to take care of us? When you start doing that, but you can't put no crook over it, and I'll prove that. Because I made over a billion, but I made billions from never stole nothing from nobody. I'm trying to make an agenda. So why would I steal? Why would I try to be over top someone? Why would I make anybody a slave? No, you an asset. You get rid of burdens. You an asset. You have to stand on your own 2 feet. That's what God says. You owe a debt to God, my sisters. There's no gender in the debt that you owe to God. Just like there's no gender in you reading the Holy Quran. If you can read better than me, I shut up. Well, that's the woman. No, that's a human being that God gave the spirit to and the ability to read better than I can. No, Quran. It's true. Now, she can't do Juma. She can't do Genesis. Why? That's a long story. But she has to take time out. And when you are leading a community, man, and you protecting the community at all times, we don't stop to have babies. We don't stop because we have a menstrual. So that's why man's in charge. But he is not a dictator to the female. Why? It's called Adam and Eve. Equal opportunity. And Allah can bless her to be more gifted in what you're doing than you. If Adam would have asked Eve about that tree with that apple, he wouldn't have never ate it. So she didn't curse the world. And that's why at Arafat, she don't have to put her clothes back on, but she never took it off. And Allah is not talking about the physical clothes. He said, cover your shame. Address my creation. And no women dress the creation and bring in you and I in this world. That's my humble opinion. Now, I got a few more minutes left. If someone else is out there, Omar was supposed to tune in. Are you there, Omar? Going once, going twice, going three times. Is anyone else out there that has a question? You have the right to speak up. Going once, going two, going three. I really want to thank all of y'all for tuning in. And I have a way of addressing the Quran and try to motivate people and stimulate people and give them the opportunity to go back in the Quran and see it for yourself. If Art is out there, along with the manager or his father, I was just called today that they want you to come to perform next Saturday. Now, that might be short, but that's when things come when you least expect it. Good things at that. When things you want and you've been wanting and then all of a sudden it comes. Well, a lot of major celebrities, and I must have spoke to about five outstanding people in the music industry. And they loved the girl that I have. And they said that she can perform anytime in North Carolina at their place that they packed the house. It's only 800 people, but it's the most beautiful place there. We like it. It keeps us working. A young lady told her, her name was River. She'd been in the business a long time. She said, you're always good. You're better than when you was yesterday if you constantly perform. And it's so true. It's called continuity. So instead of practicing in your own place, you practice in front of people. And we will see that place. They're going to introduce it to us on Saturday. Yes, brothers and sisters, all of this is happening. But I've always said that I wanted my own network. And I wanted to be able to do things that should be on TV so it goes to the millions of people out there. That's where I come from. My highest was 49 on NBC in prime time. Don King can't say that. Bob Arum can't say that. So I believe I got it because of my obedience to Allah. Well, to date, in 10 years, like the prophet, I was away from all of that. And I walked this walk and talked this talk and became accepted by my Islamic brothers and sisters. And mostly my foreign brothers, they have embraced me. So we went out and brought hospitals. You know, you don't just go buy no 10 acres of land and a very popular hospital and you sit there and the bank says, 'cause I'm black, do he have the money? Banker turns to him, you want me to write the check right now? See, that's the kind of stuff that people don't know that, and I'm not trying to say anything. And last but not least, I went to Brother Minister Farrakhan because he man was in the army told me to. He said, I love him, I love him, I love him. But you tell him that anything he want to do with this community, come to Morocco. And he turned me around to his family, all of them, the Supreme Captain, all of them was there. Mustafa was there. His daughters was there. His wife was there. And he said, this man here, you never have to wonder if he's a Muslim. In that world, he has proved that. But more important, all the powers of being respect his ability in the corporate world. He said, whatever you want to do with my community, you got my permission. Well, I said, let's join. Let's join, Brother Imam, because that's over 1 million people overnight. And that's where we're going to start. 1 million people. If we like your book, you just became a bestseller because we brought it. Now everybody wants it because why? The press don't lie. You became the bestseller. We put you on TV. Well, They're going to keep you there. Why? Because it's 1 million of us that turns you on. And if we tell 10, that's 10 million of us turns you on. They will never get rid of you. Because why? Ratings. And then if you do anything that we don't like, because Verizon will shut you off in a minute. They don't care. So, okay, let's shut them off. So all you got Verizon. Well, it's not a million that got Verizon because some of us got other fights. How many we got? 500,000. Okay, on December the 5th, shut them down. Whoa, what you just did? You took $1 billion from them. $1 billion. Now they're calling. They want to talk to me. I said, no, you turn it back on. We'll take it, but we're only paying you $10. That's power. We can buy anything you want. You love that coat? I'm just being a little facetious, but you like those mink coats? What did it cost you? $10,000, $15,000, $20,000? Good. Well, we're going to buy 500 of them. Well, now what is it going to cost you? What is it going to cost you, brothers and sisters? $100 a piece. That's why we brought it in fire. You buy these Mercedes. Yes, Mercedes costs $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. But yes, sir, Mr. Mercedes, you already built your car for this year. How many cars you going to build next year? Well, next year, we're going to build at least 5 million. Well, guess what? I want 500,000 of those cars that you will never see. Well, you know, that costs 150. We'll give you 50,000 a piece. It's called newfound money, sir. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody driving a Mercedes for $50,000 that couldn't afford it. But don't let go out there and buy a Chevy. Chevy's cost what? $14,000? Oh, we're going to spend $14,000 for a Chevy. And if that's what they want, yeah. But we're going to buy 500 Chevys. Because why? It's 10 million of us, and they like them Chevys. But we're going to give you newfound money. Well, how much you going to pay for this Chevy? I said, I think I'll give you 500, 5,000, 6,000. Why? Because it's newfound money. They never saw it before. Never, they had nobody come and buy those many automobiles. We buy our brands, our factories, and our everything. We can have design our own clothes. Our children are designers. So why we don't have now all the big companies want our clothes. And you know these companies going down? You know they shutting down? Mm-hmm. We want the building. Them beautiful, gorgeous buildings they built, we don't have to do nothing. Give me the building. We're going to buy it. Well, Marad, all these buildings you buy is going to cost you at least $1 billion. Now you keep it. But we'll give you $400 million. But now we got stores all over the country, and you cannot do it without them. They'll shut you down. They'll sabotage you. Nothing all black works today. So you give them a piece of it. Let them eat steak. Hey, Goldberg, you with Marad Muhammad? Yes. You eating steak? Yes. Okay, I'm with you. We don't say that about each other. Hey, Marad, you a Muslim? Yeah. You eating steak? And we didn't call you. We're going to change all that. Come willingly to Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, or by force. Now, why do I give credit to Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Because it's right there in the Holy Quran. If you don't give credit where credit's due, yeah, I give you no more. You selfish, spineless individual, afraid someone thinks you should be with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But yet they could be with the Ku Klux Klan and be the President of the United States. And you don't say a word. Why? Because he's spineless. But you could talk about your own brother. Well, we're going to shut all that down because we got our own communication. We're going to have our own radios and all, you're going to hear the truth. And guess what they said, brother, sister, Rod? You're going to do the talking for all of us. And all I do, brothers and sisters, all I do is tell them what God says. That's what made Muhammad the prophet, praise be upon him, the perfect example. If I tell you I love my wife and my children that's personal. I might make a mistake. If I tell you what God says about my wife and my family, I'm perfect. So he gave us 23 years of the surah of the Quran. From Fatiha to Anas. And then Allah moved him. That's what makes him perfect. We call him the perfect example because the Quran is perfect. There's no doubt in it. Show it to me in the Quran, I submit. Tell me I shouldn't do this, I submit. Bring me a hadith, I will listen. But if it don't touch my nature, it's like your husband. Every man touch your hand. Didn't mean nothing. You can shake my hand. But something about that man just sent a chill up my body. What kind of chill? It made me feel good. You don't even know. I don't know something about his touch. He's the one. That's my nature. Man, that's the one. That's the one. I love him. That man got it. Tell me, brother, that God ain't great. I said anything to hurt anyone. I apologize from the bottom of my heart if I say anything to that was wrong. I'm human. We say subhanAllah. We all make mistakes. But I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen. I will fit you the nature in which you was created, in your taqwa, your obedience to God, your love for God. Don't give me that credit. Give those credits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorify his name. And I greet you from Adam. We spoke on it, but I love to talk about Adam and Eve. One soul, one community, one God. And I greet you from my father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities, Abraham. We love Abraham. We call him father. That's what the Prophet Muhammad said. They said, I saw him. We call him Father Abraham. But not our biological father. He is the son of Adam. And then Jesus Christ. Christ is Muslim. He came to do the work of God. He submitted to the will of God. This myth that he created Christianity. This myth that he didn't come here for God. This myth that he taught that he's the son of God. Now that I'll talk about later what all that means, and maybe you'll get a more clear understanding. And I greet you from the seal of the Prophet of 1400 years ago, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. The peace and blessings be upon him. The peace and blessings be upon him because he is the seal. All the prophets is in him as one. So we say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we greet every prophet that you don't even know. You see? That's why we give them the excellent salute and ask Allah to bless his ascendants and his companions for their outstanding achievement. And tune in. Tomorrow you're going to hear Salima Muhammad and her sister, Dr. Nadira, and they're going to interview a young lady who can tell you about 20-something years of continuity in the boxing world. Her name is Jacqueline Smith. And the thing I like about her, she told Salima, she said, now this is early in the morning because they both on the West Coast. She said, but I don't need to talk about me because me is who he helped make. So if you're going to ask me about Murad, you got me. Because I saw that man day and night, the way he ruled the world, not just America, 240 countries that he communicated with. Great story. And then the following week, She got Muhammad Ali's wife, Khalilah Ali. She was going to be on this week, but she's doing a movie. And she called and said, Rod, I'll be back. I'll be with you Saturday, next Saturday, and I'll do it for you because she's coming in. Oh, we got George Foreman. We got Larry Holmes. We got all of them. We got all the great singers and everybody coming. And it's what happens. This is what I do. If you're going to put me over top of something, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And I don't usually say these things until it actually happened, until it actually happened. But I trust in Allah. And so I've seen you all. I walk with you, talk with you, sit with you all. I know the problems. And the big problems is you imams that has no track record of producing anything. We ain't hating you. We just say, get out the way. That's all we say, get out the way. Be consultants, those youth in there. You can't put them over top of something as big as we are. But you can train them because you're there to make sure they train so we can hand it back to our youth. Because we the youth of El Islam. We was the last ones to come. But we acted in our nature like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did for 40 years. So that's tomorrow. So 11 o'clock, East Coast time. You on midways, of course, just take an hour off. And it's your time. If you're on the West Coast, take 3 hours off, and it's on your time. 11 o'clock tomorrow morning on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Raj Speaks, and we will send you around the globe. Inshallah. That is Saturday. And Sunday, Dr. O, by the way, I apologize because Dr. O asked me a question, and I'll say that for next week. But she called and sent me a message. Why isn't it that the black community in America don't have their own business in their own community? I said, good question. And if I think of it, I will try to answer it. But I don't want to keep you any longer. Be with your family. We say, O Allah, and bless those who passed away and separate their faults from their goodness as thou separate the east from the west. O Allah, bless those who are ill and sick and lift the burden from them, Lord. For Allah is the best knower. And we say, O Allah, bless those who want to give and those who are giving and those who are trying to help the ones that cannot help themselves. Reward them with barakats, blessings, so they can make it into paradise. We say, surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. Anytime I do a dua, anytime I speak of the source of the Quran other than Fatiha, I say, Sadaqallah, Adeen. Allah Almighty is the best knower. Thank you for tuning in. May Allah be with you. Peace and love.